The Bible says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In other words, the power of God will come to us as we get quiet and still before Him. The presence of the Lord is something real and practical. As we develop the habit of getting quiet before Him, to use the Bible phrase, waiting upon the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 38, the last verse of Isaiah 40 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, or shall regain their strength. Or you can say, shall be refreshed, strengthened, and rebuilt. It's a constant action or operation by the Holy Spirit, especially in our souls. Now, as Jesus says in Matthew 11, I believe it's 28, where He says, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to Me. Come to Me. Where is Jesus today? Of course, first of all, He's in heaven. And then, as He Himself taught us before He went to heaven, that He was going to send another counselor or comforter, as we find it in the King James Version of the English Bible, which is one of the oldest versions of the Bible. Come unto Me, or come to Me, who you who are weary and burdened. He's not only in heaven today, He is in our midst. Where do we find Him? We find Him in the Holy Spirit. And that is really the chief purpose, the primary purpose of Pentecost. And I've been speaking on the subject of the purpose or the purposes of Pentecost, especially to a gathering like this, and we're all supposed to be Pentecostal people. We belong to a Pentecostal church. And the Assembly of God, they have a long history of the Pentecostal movement. Or we can say the American Pentecostal movement was started by the Assemblies of God. There were those pioneers who got together and they prayed. And this was in the year of 1906. I believe the following year, the Assemblies of God came into being. And since then, it has been spreading, not only in America or across America, but around the world. And the Assemblies of God is one of the largest denominations in the world. In America, the Assembly of God, the membership is much smaller, but overseas, many, many times the number of Assembly of God churches here in America. In other words, the influence of the Assembly of God is much greater, wider than here in the United States. Now, since we are part of the Assemblies of God, I believe that all churches should be part of the Pentecostal church. Because the church was born on the day of Pentecost. The church was born when the Holy Spirit of God was poured out. The significance of Pentecost has been grossly neglected or overlooked, and in some cases misunderstood. When people talk about the Pentecost or being filled with the Holy Spirit, people usually talk about speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues or the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hardly, rarely do we hear people talking about the presence of God. One of the first purposes of Pentecost, as we read in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and the Father will give you another counselor or comforter, so he will be with you forever. Talking about being with us, God coming in the person of the Holy Spirit, being with us. Now, Jesus realizes and he points out that when the Spirit of Truth is the other way he put it, the Comforter who is the Spirit of Truth, when he comes, he says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Because the Holy Spirit is invisible, and the world, people in the world, as even people in the church, many of the traditional churches, they find it hard to accept the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, who is God Himself. The God that we believe in is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. The Father is hidden. The Son has been manifested. The Son really in the Bible means the manifestation of God, or the physical manifestation of God. Or as the Apostle Paul put it, you know, God in flesh. John puts it in another way. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And then he goes on to say, the Word became flesh. That Jesus Christ. And then after Jesus died and then rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples to show that he was God who came in the flesh. Now he's going back to heaven. And before he went back to heaven, for 40 days, he appeared to his disciples. But as the Bible tells us that even at his repeated appearance, there were still people among the disciples who do not believe. And then as he went back to the heaven, as we read the Bible, he sat down at the right hand of the Father and then received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, he poured out his Holy Spirit. Peter and the other apostles, and they had to explain. Because when the Spirit was poured out, there were people who were speaking in tongues, and perhaps there were other manifestations, you know, as well. And all of these godly Jews who came from all over the world, in those days as many as like 14 countries or regions of the world, they were all gathered together in the city of Jerusalem when this was happened. And as the Bible records, many, they didn't understand. They were asking, what does this mean? And there were others who did not understand, but ridiculed. That, oh, look at these people, they just are drunk with new wine, and perhaps, well, some, the way that they behaved, gestured, it appeared to be strange to them. So Peter had to get up, along with the other 11 apostles, and then said, explain. He went on to explain what this means. In short, what Peter was saying, that the Jesus that you have crucified on the cross, God has raised him up, and he has gone to heaven, to the Father, and received the Spirit of the promise, and then he poured down what you have seen here. So this is really the feeling or the baptism, the call of the Holy Spirit on the day. He had to explain it. But before then, Jesus had already taught about Pentecost, the meaning of Pentecost. And we read it, especially in John chapter 14, I meant to read it the last few times, but I didn't get a chance to. Tonight, I think we're going to read these verses, beginning with the 16th verse, chapter 14 and 16th verse, if you will turn to the Gospel of John. There are four things that I would like for you to note as we read this passage, beginning with the 16th verse. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Notice this, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The word counselor has been variously translated in the English versions of Bibles. In the Old King James Version, it's translated as comforter. In this NIV version, it's translated as counselor. In the New King James Version, it's translated as the helper. And then there are a few other translations, you know, such as encourager, strengthener, defender. In other words, God, in another form, he says, another comforter. Now here I am, Jesus, speaking to you in the form of the flesh. Now there is another who is the Spirit of Truth. Then he goes on to say, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, those of you who have received the Spirit or who have been taught about the Holy Spirit even before he comes. For he lives with you and will be in you. And we notice there is a little marginal there, after the word be, for he will be with you at the marking, the note down at the bottom, and it says, or in you, for he is in you, meaning those who have already received the Holy Spirit, and will be either will be in you, meaning those who are to receive the Spirit, and will be in you, those who have received the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. First he said, the Spirit of Truth will be with you forever. And here it says, I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. In other words, he's going to come to take care of us, to provide for us, to live with us, to watch over us. And to me, whatever need we might have, I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. Now this means that once we have received the Holy Spirit, Jesus keeps coming to us. Jesus will continue to manifest himself to us. How? In the Holy Spirit, through the Word, and through the operation of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, the world, before long, the world would not see me anymore, but you will see me. How do we see Jesus? Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And we sense, we can sense the presence of the Lord. And we can know him, not only through the Bible, but by the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. And then he said, on that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, as we read the whole chapter, the entire chapter 14, in the preceding passages, Jesus was talking about the Father being in him, and that he being in the Father, and the disciples had a time under, had a hard time understanding it. And Philip had to say, Lord, if you just show us the Father, and then we will be satisfied. Not knowing that the Father, or the Spirit of the Father, is invisible, cannot be seen, for God is a Spirit. And that's why Jesus had to come. God had to come in the flesh so that we will see what God is like when he lives in a human body, when what a human life is like when he lives in God, or the, in the Spirit of God. So he's showing them. At first they didn't understand, but he says, on that day, the day of Pentecost, the day when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will know that how the Father lived in me and how I lived in the Father. And not only that, you will know that you will be in me and I will be in you, just as I was in the Father, as the Father was in me. Meaning the spiritual relationship. This is one of the main purposes of the Pentecost. And that is, God comes again in the person of the Holy Spirit. Because God is a Spirit, as Jesus said in chapter 4, verse 24, says, God is Spirit. Those who worship him must worship in the Spirit. Those who come into contact with him, those who wish to relate to him, must do so in the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about the presence of God, we talk about the Holy Spirit being in us, or within us. And my favorite Bible verse, you know, is what Jesus said, wherever two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of. wherever and whenever we are gathered together in His name, and He's in our midst, in the person of the Holy Spirit. That is one of the main purposes of Pentecost, is that God has come. He has come to be with His people. He has come to live in His people. He has come to take care of His people. And He's come to live with His people. As I pointed out, Jesus mentioned four things in this particular passage. Number one, the Comforter has come so that He will be with us forever. God will be present with us forever. Since the beginning of the Pentecost. And the second thing is that He will come to live with us. We can live in the presence of God. We can live with God every day. As we read these people in the Bible, such as Noah, as Enoch, as Abraham, as David, as Moses, as Joshua, and all of these people, they walked with God. God was with them all the time. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon only a few, such as kings or the priests, the leaders of His people. But in the New Testament, after Pentecost, God says, I will pour down My Spirit upon all flesh, all My people who wish to have Me, to open their hearts and allow Me to live within their lives, and He would come to all of us. So, when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about God being with us, day in and day out, and in meetings, as well as outside of meetings. He is with us wherever we go and whatever we do. But we need to develop, first of all, this faith, this simple faith, that He's with us, as His Word says. And secondly, we need to develop a consciousness of the presence of God, that we become conscious and that He's with us in a real way. Often I hear people say, oh, the Holy Spirit is so real. Oh, our God is so real. We all should be able to not just only to say that, but to feel it and to live that way, and so that we might be empowered, knowing that God is within us. The Holy Spirit has come to live within us. Now, the other thing, as I pointed out, before long, and the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me, because I live, you also will live. Meaning, He will live within us. Because He has been raised, because He overcome, He has overcome the world, the sins, and the death, even the death. And He has been raised again from the dead. And as He says in Revelation chapter 1, I was dead once, but now I'm alive, and that I will live forever. Now here He's telling us, I will live in you, and therefore you will live also. You will live by My power. You will live by My wisdom. You will live under My guidance, in My presence. I will be with you. Here Jesus was teaching His disciples. Now, these truths have become reality in all of these New Testament days, because Pentecost has come. Pentecost has been here for over 2,000 years. And yet, the fact of the matter is that people Even the people of God still need to be taught that this is the New Testament time, that God has come. He came in the flesh. Now, in the New Testament time, He has come in the Holy Spirit and come to live with us, come to dwell within us, and to be our strength, to be our ability to live the kind of life that He wants us to live. And we neglect that. And you look at these disciples in the Bible, these apostles, how they were changed. In the beginning, of course, they were fighting, disciples, and they were fighting among themselves, as who is the number one, and then often they quarreled. But gradually, they were taught, and especially after the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they no longer live by themselves. Now that God has come to live within them. Just like the Apostle Paul says, it is no longer I that I live, but Christ lives in me. That's New Testament. That's the purpose of Pentecost. And we all should be able to say that the Christian life that the Apostle Paul lived is truly a Christian life. He is the model. He's our standard. And how do we know whether we are living a Christian life or not? How do we know? Look at Paul. Look at Peter. Look at John. All of these disciples, they were just like us. And yet, toward the end, in the latter years of their lives, that they were all transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. They talked like Christ, they lived like Christ, they walked like Christ. And the Apostle John tells us that they came to the point where they no longer sinned in the world. They were delivered. Because they learned the secret of abiding in the Lord. They found out, as John says, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And therefore the Apostle Paul was able to say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We all should be able to say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And John says specifically that he who abides in the Lord will not sin. The secret of being delivered from sin, the secret of overcoming sins is to constantly abide in the Lord, knowing that He has come. We are filled with His Holy Spirit. We're living in the days of Pentecost. And He has come. He says, I live, you will also live. Meaning, because I overcome, because I've been raised, and you'll be able to live by my power. You'll be able to live with me by my power. And I thank God that in my own Christian experience, I remember the breakthrough came when I, one day when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I had been a Christian for 17 years already. Yet I had to acknowledge that I was still failing God. I was not living the way that the Bible teaches and God wanted. And I was asking myself questions. Just what is wrong with me? Just what is missing in me? I'm not living the way that God wants. And so I started searching for the answer. What happened to me? I was asking different ministers questions, and I began to study the Bible. And interestingly enough, the Holy Spirit, without my knowing it, was directing my attention to the word Holy Spirit. The Old Testament, the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, and now I know that it was the Holy Spirit who was directing my attention to what the Spirit was doing and how these people were so bold, so powerful, and how miracles were being done by these people. And I began to pay attention and realize the Holy Spirit. Now, even then, I did not realize that what I was missing is really the Pentecostal experience, the same experience that those disciples had on the day of Pentecost. So until one day, my wife and I went to a Pentecostal church. There, to our surprise, and we were filled with the Holy Spirit. People prayed for us, they laid hands on us, and we were filled with the Holy Spirit. My wife was the first one, to speak in tongues, and I knew something happened to her. And then as they continued to pray for me, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and then I burst into speaking tongues. At the time, I felt as if some kind of power that was inside of me that was exploding or imploding, if you will, and I just couldn't stop speaking in tongues. And the next thing I knew was that Jesus was standing before me, and it was made so real to me that I didn't even have to open my eyes to see if Jesus was there. I knew the Lord was there, standing with me. And ever since that day, that Christ is not only alive, but He lives within me, this truth has become increasingly real in my own life. And there was such a transformation in my life. My value systems changed, and my outlook, my worldview, my attitude, and everything seemed to have changed because Jesus has come into my heart and to live in my heart. And that was the beginning of my growth in the Lord. That was the beginning of a personal relationship that was to develop continuously even to this day. And so that I am able to say today that Christ lives within me. And I can, just like the apostle said, I can say that it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Meaning that He no longer lives according to His own ideas, His desires. He no longer lives in the flesh in the way that He wanted as He did before. Even in the service of God, now that He is serving God in the Spirit, whereas before He was serving God in the flesh, He was full of enthusiasm in the traditions of the Judaism. But now He's been delivered from the law. He's been freed. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And now that He found Christ has come to live in Him, and He's able to say that it is no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives in me. And then He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So looking back over the years, God has changed me so much that I am almost totally different person. my desires, my interests, my wishes for the world. I wanted to achieve. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to become famous in the world. But now, it seems that I'm no longer interested in anything in this world. Now I'm beginning to understand what the Apostle Paul says, you know, to me, the world has been crucified. As far as the world is concerned, I have been crucified. Isn't this is what he says? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And then he prayed for the church at Ephesus. We read in chapter 3 of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, that he would pray that God would strengthen you in the inner man so that Christ may live in your hearts by faith. He was encouraging them to live by faith, believing that Christ lives in you. And that then the Holy Spirit will cause us to be strengthened in the inner man as we believe and as Paul believed. So I appreciate times like this when we can spend some quiet time together in the presence of God so that he will come, as he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you uncared for. I will come to you. I will live with you. I will be with you. I will give you strength to live the way that I lived. And isn't it exactly the way the apostles in their later years, the way they lived, just like Jesus lived? And I think it should be true with all of us too, as we continue the secret of success, of waiting upon the Lord, of knowing him in a fuller and a deeper way, is to really spend as much time as possible in his presence, in quietness, in stillness. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Very few Christians, they practice that. Very few Christians take time, you know, to be quiet and still before God. When God says, be still, meaning, be still before me, learn about my presence. I want you to come into my presence. And then know that I am God. If you look up your Bible, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Meaning, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And that you will know that I am God. I am your God. I can do all things. I can meet all your needs. I can heal you. I can strengthen you. I can comfort you. Whatever situations we might find ourselves in, but God is there for us. That's why he says, be still. And Jesus says, come to me. Spend time with me. And I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. You have financial burdens. You have pressures of the life, challenges in your life every day. All sorts of pressures. We live in this stressful world. And how do we get the release? I know that there are people in the world who will teach you how to reduce your stress level And they have different ways of doing it. But I found that the best way to reduce our stress, or as Jesus put it, to find real rest for our souls, is just to come, simply come to Him and spend quiet time in His presence, in His Word. And then He will make us to know that what kind of God He is. Know that I am God. I'm in control of every situation. Whatever problems you have, to turn it over to me. I will take care of that. No problem is greater than I. Know that I am God. These words have power. And I learned this as I spent time in His presence. So I would encourage you, dear friends, that no matter how busy you may be, you must find time. You must make time to spend in God's presence and in His Word. And as you meditate on His Word, the Spirit of God will just open the Word to you. It will reveal the hidden meanings of His words. And then you will know that He is God. And I find that the highest form of science in the world today is to know God. All the other sciences are meant to study the things created by God. But only knowing God is the true and the highest form of science. Now, how do we know Him? We come before Him. We spend time with Him. We allow Him to reveal Himself to us through His Word, by His Holy Spirit, through the sharing times we spend together. And it's also important that as we come together, we share experiences. We tell what God is doing for us in our lives. And this way, the consciousness of God will grow in all of us. And then we will soon find that God is real. Of course He's real. When the Apostle John speaks of the anointing, the Holy Spirit in us, he specifically, add these words, the anointing is true and not counterfeit. Why he said that? Because people might think that, I don't see him. People might question, is this my own feeling? Is this my imagination? Holy Spirit is so real within us. And the anointing teaches in all things, in everything. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, when we're not living right, we're not doing the right thing, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He makes us know. In some cases, He would convict us. He would make us feel awful or uncomfortable, at least. And these are the voices of the Holy Spirit that we need to pay attention to. And this is how we live in God, and God lives in us. So I would encourage you to make time so that you can have time for God. The people in the world, of course, they have time for everything, but they don't have time for God. But you and I, we are the people of God. We are the lovers of Jesus, and we need spend time. I'm sure that we can find time to spend. As you do it, God will keep coming to you. And He will fill us more and more with the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, I brought some copies of my book. I've written 6 books, but only one of them is in English. So I brought the English version so that you can read it. And this book is titled The Practice of Waiting on God. being in the presence of God needs to be practiced. It's an exercise. It's a daily exercise. So I brought some copies, and I would be happy to give a copy to you. And those of you who would be interested in reading the book and in putting into practice some of the teachings in this book. This is really a summary of my own experience, what I learned over the last 40 years. And it's just in a nutshell. And I'll be happy to give a copy, you know, to those who would be interested. I mean, seriously interested. Only to those who promise to read it, to put it into practice. And then I will autograph my copy for you, okay? And it's free. I want to give it to you free. Just by way of encouragement. Hallelujah. Oh, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us, for this time that we can share your word, Lord. We thank you that we have been brought into your presence tonight. We can sense, Lord, the Spirit whispering into our spirit, our souls, the voices of God, the calling of God, the calling of our beloved. Come, my child, come near. I want you to come nearer and nearer to me. I want you to remember and believe my word, which says, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Remember my other word. It says, God is not far from us. This word that was in the beginning, now it's in the Holy Spirit. This word is not far from you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. This word, the word that we believe in, the word who came once in the flesh, now it becomes again the living word and it can dwell within us by the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear Lord, we just ask that you will continue to make yourself real to us. Make us, Lord, more conscious of your presence, your living in us. As you said, you've sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. And that you've told us that there came a day when we would understand that you were in the Father, and now that you are in us, and that we are in you. Father, make this real, this indwelling life real. Grant us that same faith that your servants, your apostles and prophets had as they walk with you by faith. Give us that childlike faith, so simple. As you said, Lord, these things are hidden from the prudent ones, but are revealed to babies. Oh, make us so simple as babies, so that these wonderful things of God may be revealed to us. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us tonight. Oh, may your presence and your peace and joy, hope and faith rest upon us, Lord, from this day, Lord, from this day onward. Help us, Lord, to grow deeper and deeper in God so that we may live the way that you have intended us to live. And I pray this prayer, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.